It's a football. It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hand.
Welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible football podcast. This is Tariq joining you for a Champions League quarterfinal review special with our full panel. Joining us from Gurgaon, as usual, is Karan, our European correspondent.
Hey, guys.
And back from the heights of the Himalayas and back from the exotic landscape there into the more earthly familiarity of Bangalore is Vishal.
Yep. Hey, guys. What's up?
Vishal, that must have been some come down. not least because you came down and found out that the inevitable had happened at Camp Nou.
Oh man, let's not go there at all.
But we'll have to at some point in this podcast, because we are covering all the four quarterfinals. Let's begin with the most predictable and least controversial of all the ties. Liverpool were expected to go to Porto and do a job, especially on the back of a 2-0 lead. They went and did it pretty clinically, despite a hiccup here or there. Really did not look in trouble at all.
Yep. Good professional performance, exactly what they needed. What they didn't need at this point in time with the league and everything else and the championship that they're chasing, there is a lot of hard work from a Porto game, and that's exactly what they did. No extra effort, did what it needed and got away without too many problems at all.
And no injury scares or nothing either, no suspension. Absolutely. Worries. So, of course, the whole thing resets at the semis, but still. Karan, anything that stands out from the performance, or this is just, again, been typical Liverpool that they have been pulling off these performances week after week?
I think, like you said, it was a typical performance wherein they knew what they had to do. They went there, they got it done, and they have bigger fish to fry in the coming days. But I think, like Vishal said, considering the situation which the league stands as of now, I think that was the best possible scenario for Liverpool, and now they just have to move on from there.
Absolutely.
And those two clean sheets could have given them a lot of confidence, but. They did not quite keep the clean sheet at the end. Nonetheless, we move on to game number two. And Vishal, I know this is going to make for painful discussion. Well, primarily because given what Manchester United had done in the first leg and sort of limited the damage that Barcelona could do, to go to Camp Nou and give Barcelona extra advantages in terms of errors was exactly what they did not need to do.
Absolutely, right. That's definitely the difference between the good and the great, right? Because Barcelona on the day can beat you on their own without any help from anybody else. But if you're going to go there and make real amateurish mistakes on a night like that, it's definitely going to come back bite you, and look at the team you made it against. It's not a PSG, honestly. It's not any other team that you face at Barcelona, and you give that team a chance, they are going to make you pay, and they didn't make you pay. A well-deserving win for Barcelona. United were never really in the tie, like you said. They just did damage control at Old Trafford. They're giving themselves a slight chance at Camp Nou, where they tried not to hit a run, but that was never really happening. In terms of the outcome, and for the winners of the across both.
And of course, Lionel Messi's form looked ominous, and so did Philippe Coutinho's. That's things that Liverpool fans do not want to hear.
Yep.
the last thing they want is Philippe Coutinho finding his left foot curling shots.
Absolutely.
Range.
The thing about the Barcelona team is they do look focused when it comes to when it has come down to Champions League. They do have the luxury of a big lead in the Spanish league, and they do have the fact that they can actually rest players and need not push too hard to really close in the league there. So it's a good situation for them to be in, where they can actually focus all their efforts on the Champions League and seeing it through now. So it's a good place to be, and some of the players coming into form at the right time, with the likes of Dembele, likes of Coutinho, Messi is always in form, and the midfield playing well as well. So it's quite interesting for Barcelona.
Okay, and of course, Karan, we have to bring you in now because speaking of focus or lack thereof, it was...
Can I just say one thing before we get started? I mean, Vishal spoke about amateurish performance. We'll get to that in a few seconds.
And not from
the only thing, and that is the only thing I felt good about it. I think I'm not alone in this journey.
Because we had been talking about 3 out of 4 of the semi-finalists being soccer sense teams. Well, at least there was a theoretical possibility of that. But to end up with just Liverpool being the sole surviving member is strange because, Karan, we discussed this during the midweek, the leg one recap, and we had said that Juventus probably have done enough at Amsterdam to put themselves in the driver's seat, which was great. And the way they started at home with the early goal, they looked like they were pretty set to give in a professional performance at the J Stadium, seal this tie, maybe even just take a 1-0 win and just get out of there. But how did things turn the other way around, Karan?
Well, it's quite simple, right? Because Juventus have been resting on past laurels for quite some time now, and this season has been typical of what basically has happened, the other night against Ajax, because throughout the season they've been putting in such unsatisfying performances wherein they kind of take a lead and then just sit off and they just let the opposition come on to them. I mean, it's fair enough, you keep doing that in the league and you still have there's a lack of quality with the opposition wherein you can get away with it, but that's not the case at this level, and especially with a brash, energetic and a fearless side like Ajax, and they've proven it in the past, and they got absolutely what they deserved, because it was an extremely amateurish performance, if I have to say that again. The way the first goal was conceded was a complete lack of organization and a complete lack of concentration, and this is where the point that I made in one of our earlier conversations was Chiellini's absence. This is where it shows, because it's not the fact about Chiellini being present there as a defender, but being present there as a leader to organize the back four, because in his absence they just absolutely run amok. They have absolutely no clue as to which way each one is moving, and it showed ultimately, and like I said, they deserve what they got.
And it's partially so the thing that you're pointing out is what we usually call the Gary Cahill problem without John Terry, because without a marker to measure himself against, usually loses his way. So Juve at the back were pretty disorganized that way. Vishal, spare a thought, or maybe not, for Ronaldo, who everybody expected to be powering Juve at least to a semi-final or a Champions League final, ideally.
He did his part, right? Like rescued them against Atletico, scored an early goal here as well, and he did his part, and yeah, you really can't question him for the lack of trying or the lack of effort. I think the rest of the team just did really let him down, and at this point in time, I am going to stand up and question the Allegri as a coach in depth, because not the first time, not the last time, and this is honestly the only job that he has to do in the beginning of every season, where is to go win the Champions League, because we all know that Juve are going to win the league, and it's not even going to be effort for them to win the league. So he cannot seem to see it through, no matter what the situation presents itself. And if you really look at the way the tie has presented itself going forward, it could have been Juve's best chance to get to the final without too much of hard work, but Juve messed this up for themselves. I think, while you have to give credit to Ajax for what they've done, I think this is more of Juve's undoing themselves rather than Ajax outplaying Juve in any sense of the way.
And I mean, if anybody at this point in the season last year had said that between Juventus and Tottenham, who had clashed in the knockout round, the team who would make it to the semi-finals the next year would be Tottenham, I don't think we'd have really believed them.
Absolutely.
But that's
even
what
Tottenham players included.
But that's exactly what happened, because Vishal, as you almost prophetically said, Tottenham were going to end one of those bids from Manchester City for a title where they had some control. It did not happen in the league, of course, but in absolutely astonishing and dramatic fashion, they did it in the Champions League. I mean, where do we even begin with this tie? One for the ages, absolute madness.
Absolutely.
at the Etihad. Last minute goal celebrations and then turned down. Surely the Manchester United fan in you was looking at that and thinking karma.
Absolutely. But yeah, I think all the as exciting and as fun as a match as it was for us neutrals, I think this was the worst defense that I have seen in professional football for a long, long, long time. And week in and week out, we've watched some very bad defensive performances from a bunch of teams, including the likes of United, the Arsenal, but Manchester City and Tottenham did famous PlayStation football where you try to score one and I try to score two was the attitude by we as neutrals and managers' worst nightmare, because that's a lot of coaching gone down the drain.
Karan, what was your impression of the game in terms of was it superior finishing? Was it just two teams coming at each other with a lot of intensity? Or was it just basic amateur defending?
I think when it comes to the attacking third, I think, especially when it comes to Manchester City, it's pretty obvious the kind of talent that they have at their disposal. But having said that, to kind of, what was it, score four goals within about 12-15 minutes in a time.
Yeah, 12 minutes, yes.
That, 12 minutes, right? I mean, and that actually honestly reminded me of a LAN game that I had with Vijay a few years back wherein, you know, we were sitting at 2 o'clock in the morning and the score is like around 6-7 or something of that sort. And you could you couldn't imagine the kind of, again, I use the word amateurish defending. It was almost embarrassing at times. It was exciting as a neutral. I mean, but having said that, it was almost comical.
And the Champions League has an under 21 version as well. I mean, it was as if the main event that night was the under 21 version.
Well, let's face it. I'm pretty sure some of those under 21 players would have done a lot better in defense than the lot that actually were put out over there.
They did. They're facing Tottenham in the semi final, Karan.
Yeah, that's actually a very good point.
Which brings us, of course, to looking ahead to those semi-finals, and we'll quickly do a couple of mini previews of those, because in terms of European pedigree, well, bar probably Tottenham, the other three teams are fairly experienced at this stage, not necessarily in the same eras.
14 Champions League between those four teams. Sorry, three teams.
between the three teams. The fourth one trying to add. But surely in the Tottenham versus Ajax game, this is Tottenham's greatest chance to at least make the Champions League final. And you never know if you make it to the final what happens. So what do Tottenham have to do? And these are things you don't usually discuss. But what do Tottenham have to do to win here?
Well, I'm actually a bit of a loss for words, because what can you do against this Ajax team? Because it's come to a scenario where anything you throw at them, they have an answer for it. It's just that. And you just have to kind of make sure that, you know, you keep yourself switched on at all times against this Ajax team, because even a slight drop in concentration and they're going to find a way to punish you, and they're going to punish you dearly. So that is, I think, the biggest test for Tottenham, because this is something that they've never... This is a scenario where they've never been at before. So, and also, I think there's a very good chance now, I think, that Harry Kane is going to be off for quite a while. But I think this Tottenham team still has enough to kind of, you know, put in a good performance against a team like Ajax. But like you said, it's a golden opportunity for Tottenham. But I would, you know, turn the other way around. It's an equally, you know, big opportunity for Ajax to kind of, you know, relive the heydays. And who knows, once they're into the finals... Who knows? Anything is possible.
And history and philosophy is on their side, and we have not had a Cinderella run at the Champions League for quite a while now.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, like you said, Ajax is sitting there wondering, thinking the same, right? Because if they had to pick a team, if they had to play in the Champions League semi-finals amongst the teams that are there, they would not pick any other team other than Tottenham, because they have a better chance of beating Tottenham as compared to the other two teams. Irrespective of the fact that they've beaten Madrid or Juventus, they would rather play a Tottenham instead of Liverpool or Barcelona. And this is their best chance to go out there and play the fearless football that they've been playing and make the best use of the results that they have, because this is a generation which is a good bunch of players, a great bunch of players who will not be around in Ajax too long, because they will be gone soon. And so this is their best chance to go out there and have, just have a great time. And for them reaching the semifinals in Chile is a massive victory. So why not just go out there and have a great time? The pressure was on Tottenham actually.
And of course, like they've shown in the last two rounds that, I mean, anything can happen when they are going out there and just to use a cliche, expressing themselves. And finally, speaking of teams that you would not have wanted to pick to face in the semi-finals,
yep.
I mean, surely Liverpool would not have wanted to pick this Barcelona.
Absolutely.
We can talk about the fact that in the Champions League, Liverpool have gone to Camp Nou and beaten Barcelona, and one of the only English teams to have done that. But,
yep.
I mean, all that aside, all
the
that...
only teams to have done it.
But all that is history. It's the here and now that we have. This Liverpool team has immense talent, but does it have enough to upstage Barcelona on a big Champions League night? Because this time we are playing the first leg away, we are playing it at Camp Nou.
Absolutely. See, on paper, we all know, we all will agree that Barcelona have a much better team, right? Because if you were to do a player-to-player comparison, even if you put Liverpool's player, best player on paper right now, which is Mo Salah, Barcelona's answer is Messi, right? So, as much as on paper, this has got Barcelona written all over it, and that is actually what can work in Liverpool's favour, because now what Liverpool need to go out there and do is give a night of heavy metal football, because one thing Barcelona are not used to is high pressure, high intensity football. If Liverpool sit back, if Liverpool allow Barcelona possession in this game like they allow a couple of teams in the Premier League, they will get beaten, they will play right into Barcelona's trap. But what Liverpool really need to do is go out there and attack Barcelona, even at the Camp Nou, hit them hard, hit them early, and then you will really unravel this team, because like you said, they have not had much competition, and any sort of competition can really, but one of the pundits who said after the game, where he made a valid point saying last time Liverpool's biggest test came in the finals, which they were not, they fell short, and this time it's coming a step earlier in terms of Barcelona. And if Liverpool really are able to get through Barcelona here, they couldn't pick a better final any year. It could be Tottenham or Ajax. They could really pick a better final.
And of course, if we have to look for inspiration, and much as a Liverpool fan, it pains me to bring up those examples, you would have to think Chelsea 2012 against Barcelona again, because that is one way for an English team to stop them. Karan, could they be looking at that template to try and pull this result off? It's the other way around the tie, because the home leg is not first, but still.
Well, in terms of inspiration, definitely, because but I do honestly feel that this is a lot better a Liverpool side than the one that actually pulled off the miracle 14 years ago.
Oh, absolutely.
You don't say, Karan.
It's by a country mile, in fact.
But for God's sake, Traoré was in that starting lineup.
But I think had it been, the other way around, wherein, Liverpool were playing the first leg at home, I would have been a lot more confident, because
I agree.
Liverpool would definitely, at Anfield, regardless of who the opposition is, beat Barcelona, beat Real Madrid, heck, beat a legendary 11 with Cruyff and Zidane and Pele and Maradona, Liverpool will still smack them.
Yep.
Right? It's as simple as that. But the fact that they have to go to the Camp Nou first is what is kind of giving me a bit of a jitter. But having said that, if Liverpool are still able to kind of, limit the kind of damage that they go through at the Camp Nou, I'm saying even if they come back with a 3-1 deficit, I still kind of, give them a chance at Anfield. Because at Anfield, absolutely anything is possible. Because they are a completely different animal. And they just have to go, and they're just going to have to go and, play, like Vishal said, heavy metal, trooper-level football, and you never know. Anything is possible.
But at a very, very thing, Liverpool cannot afford a 2-goal deficit, not against Barcelona, because Barcelona are going to do and are capable of doing is going anywhere and scoring a goal. It's very difficult to stop
True. So I absolutely agree. I'm not saying that, I'm not saying that Barcelona won't score at Anfield if it's a 3-goal, if it's a 2-goal deficit. But all I'm saying is at Anfield, regardless of, whether Barcelona score or not, Liverpool have it in them to score 2, 3, maybe even 4 if required.
Yep. This game in specific will be won and lost on the wings, for sure.
All right, and those wings will be the places to see. I mean, we have got two young talents.
I think the most important player for Liverpool in this tie is, he's pretty much been their one of their best players this season. Van Dijk is going to be absolutely crucial in this tie because
I actually think
he is going to be absolutely massive in this tie.
So here's my spin on that, right? Yes, Van Dijk is going to be important, but Barcelona have no intent of coming at Liverpool through the centre of the park. They're going to come through Liverpool by attacking them. This is why I'm saying, right? What they're going to do is they're going to go at an Alexander Arnold, they're going to go at Robertson because they are now going to unleash a Messi, they're going to now unleash a Coutinho or a Dembele on the left and the right.
And for that matter, you have a Suarez up there too.
So Liverpool are not used to this. The last time they came close to something like this was a Manchester City offense, and that didn't really end well for Liverpool. So that defense is going to be put to the test. But that does not mean the Liverpool offense are not going to put Barcelona's backline to the defense, because we do know they're slowing down. We do know they're aging with the likes of PK in the back.
And they, ironically, through the middle is where Barcelona is most susceptible.
Absolutely. So, this is where it's going to be such a tactical warfare, because if Barcelona are going to go through the center, Liverpool have one person who can really make a difference. But on the other hand, Liverpool must go through the center. Liverpool should look and attack Barcelona through the center. So it's going to be an interesting game. But on paper, right now, Barcelona are definite favorites.
And as a Liverpool fan, I'd have to agree, but that's the match I'm most looking forward to, because
absolutely,
you talk about an European pedigree.
The Champions League is made of.
So we'll, of course, be tracking that game and the Tottenham versus Ajax game, which should also be fascinating, and we'll be bringing you the mid-leg as well as the complete review of that. As well as tracking the league, which of course is turning into a breathless affair, but that's a story for another day, because we're almost out of time on this pod for this week. Hopefully you guys will join us next time. You can find us on Twitter at SenSoccer. You can find us on all the podcatching platforms, Pocket Casts, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, as well as Spotify. Just search for us under Soccer Sense. Otherwise, we are on Audioboom at audioboom.com/channel/soccer-sense. That's all the time we have this week for this Champions League special episode, and this is Tariq signing off along with Vishal.
See you guys.
And Karan.
See you guys.
See you guys next time.